I'm not done yet making people miserable. If they're going to make me miserable, then I'm going to make them miserable. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Classico Podcastico.
Welcome to a Thursday night edition of Classico Podcastico, the Barcelona Real Madrid podcast. I'm joined by our quotitian, Peyton McCann, Barcelona representative, and I am a Real Madrid fan, Mark Valinsky. That's a fun one. Misery. Yeah. Was it like Charles Bukowski? I'm trying to think of someone miserable.
Yeah, this one is really out there. It's actually from a hockey player. I'm not done yet making people miserable. If they're going to make me miserable, then I'm going to make them miserable. That's a Brett Hull. He's a famous crapster, Canadian American
enforcer.
Yes, a goon, if you will, but kind of a legend in the NHL sphere. NHL playoffs are in full swing. But I felt like this applied to some big news that we have for this episode today.
Yes, Javi, if you all have been under a rock, Javi is coming back. Is that what you're referring to?
Indeed, it is Xavi Corse, which means Xavi stays in Spanish. He has elected, after all this, to return to Barcelona and stay at the helm and continue managing through the end of his contract, which is up in 2025. So that's the end of next season. Very crazy.
After saying multiple times, there was nothing they could do. The club, Laporta, to convince him to stay.
Yeah, after saying no, basically after every single game, he was asked about this in press conferences, famously after the PSG loss. Luis Enrique said, I hope that he stays, and he said no, flatly. But he stays, and it came down to a final meeting with Laporta and Deco, and apparently Laporta wanted Xavi to fire his brother, Oscar Hernandez, who's our assistant manager right now.
Oh, he's been like the main manager half the time.
Hey, remember, he's been undefeated by himself on the sideline. But Laporta wanted to replace him with Dominic Torrent, who was a former Pep Guardiola assistant at Bayern Munich. A lot of people really like him as an assistant manager, but Xavi said no. So it's basically like, I don't know. I think it's good for Xavi putting his foot down, I guess. I like Oscar Hernandez on the sideline. They call him like Oscar Klopp, the Spanish Klopp, the team does. But it's funny how Laporta is like, we'd like you to stay, but only if you're willing to tear your family apart.
Fire his brother. There's Fire always brother. Something weird with Barcelona. Why is it?
It's always know. Something. Always got to be a little dysfunctional. He is back. Xavi said, I feel good about it. I feel like at this point, it's a little late to find a decent manager. And with one more year until the end of his contract, that means we could be in the running for Jurgen Klopp after he's taken his year sabbatical. So he's going to step away for a time. Hopefully a year is long enough vacation for him to miss being behind the wheel of a team. And we might be in really good shape by that point next year. So that would be really nice. But obviously I love Xavi. I love his passion. I think he has some things to work on, namely his mental state during games, his emotional intelligence. If we could refrain, I mean, they should have some sort of clause in his contract that if you get more than two red cards this coming season, that you make half or something, because it's been too much.
Yeah, and he spoke candidly about his mental health struggles and basically that he's been miserable, and it comes across on the sideline.
Yeah, and they should make sure that he's not listening to Catalan radio or Spanish radio or watching the pundits on the TV. I don't know why you would torture yourself like that if you're in a position like Xavi is. So stay away from social media. Stay away from media in general while you're at the helm of Barcelona, because nothing good will come out of that.
Stay away from media.
Yeah, and keep in mind, the best run of form we had this year was the month following his announcement that he was leaving. And that sort of took the pressure off of everything and allowed us to play a little freely. And I mean, that was our best run, was that those like 4 or 5 weeks after his announcement.
Well, what's so funny about that is that it was like, okay, we're doing that, so I'm going to say I'm leaving. And then you guys were doing good because he said he was leaving. And now you guys are doing bad. And so now he said he's coming back. It's almost like he'll just say the opposite thing and hope that that means an uptick in form.
Right, right. No, I know. And it's, so we're not going to have that, little ripcord of motivation next season. Like, even if Javi says, okay, that's it, I'm leaving, we'll be like, okay, well, we've been through this or whatever. Won't have the same effect, at least. And now we know he's leaving at the end of next year, pretty much. So, and we had a lot of lows this season as well before his announcement. There's a reason that he was on the hot seat for a while, and we weren't playing the most attractive brand of football. Now, so hopefully he works on that.
And were you going to read a quote before I rudely interrupted you?
Not at all. Yeah, he said, I changed my mind because I really felt total confidence from the president, from the board, and the players too. This project isn't finished yet. Me, my staff, all together, feel that we have strength to make important things together and continue this project.
Sounds like the party line. And yep. Don't forget. Yes, I'm sure a lot of this is motivated by the not so secret fact that financially Barcelona just still in dire straits, $2.7 billion in debt, long term and short term debt. And a lot of that, people have stated for Real Madrid too, like, oh, Real Madrid are $1 billion in debt. Well, yeah, but like $750 million of that is long term debt for the stadium refinancing, which has like a 2.7. I think it's like the interest rate's crazy low. It's like a 1.5% interest rate. They get these large historic clubs get hella good loan deals.
Yeah. They're trusted by financial institutions.
Right. Which, Barcelona's case, maybe they shouldn't be. But anyway.
Well, there may have been some, illegal financing going on.
But they get terms that do not reflect the financial situation because they're fucking Barcelona.
We have taken drastic steps to help right the ship. Remember all the levers that we pulled? We've been hamstrung. I mean, for these last few off seasons signing players, there's like a 4-to-1 rule that for every, dollar that comes in, we need $4 going out or whatever. But now, apparently, Javier Tebas has given us the green light this summer to go back to the 1-to-1. So if we get a player in for 100 mil, we need to sell someone else for 100 mil. And a key point here is Bernardo Silva, who's really making a play personally to come to Barcelona, and we would love to have him from Man City. Tebas has said if we sign him, we must sell Frankie de Jong, probably someone of equivalent worth.
I like how Tebas just like kind of shadow runs Barcelona's transfer policy. It's so weird. He says like specific things. It's just very strange.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like Barcelona cannot sign Mbappe. It's like, well, not really. But if you guys sold,
no, but now that you say that, we can't. Yeah.
Say he'd bring in a couple $1 million. That kid.
Yeah, he should say I can't get into that. I'm not allowed to speculate or whatever. Right. No, there's no way they can do that.
He just loves to flap his gums.
Yeah, which is ridiculous, but whatever.
His own voice. Well,
if only the Super League were a thing.
But yeah, I brought it up because obviously it costs money to fire and hire a coach, but they don't have to worry about that now. So that'll help the pocketbook as well.
That's right. Now it's all about hiring and firing players, which is something we will see. Barcelona have stated that there's only a handful that we are not willing to part with for the right price. Frankie de Jong now, rumors have it, is up for sale. But the players that we said absolutely not to, these are the players staying. Lamine Yamal staying. We are not selling him to PSG for 200 million euros as they wanted. They would have had to pay his billion euro release clause anyway. So no, but the only players we absolutely will not sell this summer are Lamine Yamal, Pedri, Gavi, Pau Cubarsí, and interestingly, Mikel Faye, the young defender who was just in the middle of a bidding war between three different clubs. And now all of a sudden we're like, yeah, you know what? He is very good. We're going to hang on to him.
Great news for Barcelona fans. I'm sure they love to hear all that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the financial news.
That's right.
Here at El Clasico Podcast to go. And, well, Peyton's at least happy that Xavi's around. I'm not so sure if I'm happy. I think I would have rather seen Barcelona managed by Rafa Marquez or something.
That's probably who it would have been. Yeah. And I felt like the fact that we hadn't really talked to other managers, that was sort of an underhanded way to keep Xavi. Like, you know, if you leave, all we have is this guy.
Right. Kind of a weird backwards threat.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Real Madrid play tomorrow. Should we talk about it?
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
A Friday game. How helpful for those of us on the East Coast. 3:00. Great. We'll all be able to enjoy that one live, I'm sure. Real Madrid play Real Sociedad, a team that historically we've struggled against, at least to collect convincing wins. It seems like we get results, but like if you actually watch the game, they tell a whole different story. Like, for example, we played them match week 5 this year, and anybody who remembers that game, it was pretty much a disaster for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
We were outplayed. They beat us in XG. Takefusa Kubo almost had a brace within like 5 minutes.
Right.
He hit that shot that was like deflected off Valverde's hair or something, and it was offside or something.
Oh, so, my gosh, yeah.
I don't know why that would be offside. I don't remember the exact details, but I just remember like almost having 7 heart attacks during that game. Mm-hmm. We did win 2-1, but it was not convincing. And in general with these games, Sociedad likes to have the ball. They had 48% possession against us. So, you know, played us pretty 50-50, which is generally how it is. They have their team is littered with quality players. I'll name off about 6 of them. Kubo, mm-hmm. He's pretty good. Takefusa, he's got 10 goals plus assists on the season. Oyarzabal, always nifty, 11 goals plus assists. And Bryce Mendes, also dangerous, yeah. 9 goals plus assists of his own. Those front three, they know how to play. They can play interlocking, attacking football. They can be pretty precise. They're averaging 1.44 goals per game. So not amazing, but La Liga, that's not bad considering Real Madrid are what in first and we average like just over 2. La Liga, not the highest scoring league anymore. I don't know what happened. Yeah, we have 70. Yeah, Real Sociedad, not too bad. What's that? Good for 7th, 46 goals. So I don't know. I don't know what's happened. We used to score like 130 goals in a season. No, that was like the high.
Right.
So we remember those days fondly. They also have Mikel Merino, really solid center midfielder, maybe one of the team of the season for La Liga last season. Zubimendi, coveted by Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Defensive midfielder Barrantea as well. He scored against us, almost scored twice against us in that early matchup. Real Madrid did have more defensive problems at their early part of the season because we were playing Jude so high and not giving him a lot of defensive duties, which meant he was scoring like a brace every game. But it did mean it was a little more back and forth. So we also have to play away at the Real Arena, which it's a great arena to play in. The fans are right on top of you. It's always packed. And they'll be in full voice. So it'll be a great atmosphere. What's interesting about Sociedad, they haven't played that great at home. They've dropped points at home on 9 occasions, which is a lot. They only have 24 points. For reference, Real Madrid have the best record at home, 44 points in La Liga. I think that's the best. Atletico might be close, but 44 is pretty good. So it's a lot more than 24. Real Madrid also have 37 points on the road this year. You add that up, that's 81 points. That's tops in La Liga. We're now 11 ahead of Barcelona. And who remembered Girona title challenge has scuppered. They're 68 points in third.
Yeah, quite a start. The first half of the season was fantastic for them, but they are hot on our tail.
How about this? Atleti, 20 points behind Real Madrid, 61 points. You'll love to see that.
Yeah, that's
10 points crazy. Behind you guys. 9 points.
Mm-hmm. Quite a gap.
The best season. Yeah, Real Madrid on pace to have their best season in La Liga in quite some time, basically since Jose, that is.
Wow.
Mourinho. Manager team, we'll be in mid-90s here if we can keep up the win pace, but gotta win. And we are going to miss Jude for this one, getting the rest ahead of the gigantic Bayern Munich Champions League semifinal on Tuesday. So you understand why he's going to get the day off, not included in the squad list. No Mendy for this one either. So I think we're going to see Vinny and Rodrigo up top, Brahim Diaz, Modric, Tchouameni, Arda Güler. I hope so. Let's see a start. And why not? He's in the squad list, so he could start.
He must be a little brat or something, the way that everyone talks about him.
He looks like, when you see the training ground videos, you're like, oh my God, this kid is is Leo Messi 2.0. So I don't know why he doesn't get any playing time, but let's see him get a start. Fede needs a break. The guy runs his butt off. They had him taking goal kicks for some strange reason against Barcelona.
So weird.
Barcelona, I don't know. Or one of the games, Man City. It's very strange. Then defense. Let's see a little Fran Garcia left back. Surely we can give Rudiger some rest. Maybe Militao plays. This will be a good one to maybe get him up to speed. Nacho, let's see him as well. And Carvajal, maybe a haul him off after 60 minutes, but we'll get him a run out because Vasquez started the Clasico. Should be a fun one. Real Madrid, not as much stakes. Sociedad trying to stay in that sixth spot. They're about 3 points ahead of Real Betis. So I think they're probably going to come to play here. And no Jude, I could see us dropping some points in this one, but I've been wrong before. I think I'm on a 3-game wrong streak. Oh, no, I got the Barcelona result.
Yeah.
I got both the Man City results wrong. But this one, I'm going to be right, Peyton. It's going to be 2-2. Draw tomorrow.
Wow.
Kubo always plays good against us, motivated by the team that never played him. He quote-unquote played for us. I think he had like one appearance. Very little playing time.
I'm pretty sure it was like in La Masia as well. So neither of us played him. He's rejected by the two big clubs of Spain.
Yeah. And he's showing him what he's made of. Brahim Diaz. Did I say his name? He's going to play. He's always good for a goal whenever he plays. So he's going to score. And then on the other side, I already said Kubo. He doesn't play for us. He plays for them. I'll give Mendes one. Bryce Mendes. Okay. So that's Kubo and Mendes. And I'm going to go Modric again.
Oh, sweet.
Little Luca. He looks like scoring recently. He's taking shots.
If you don't renew him, these might be the last games he ever plays in that white kit.
Yeah, so that's why get him out there, get him playing, starring role. He's probably not going to start against Bayern Munich, so this is a perfect opportunity to get him some final glory days for Real Madrid. And I'm going to get sad if I talk anymore about it. I'm leaving.
Right.
I can't think about it. I can't. So, yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow. But, yeah, more to play for Sociedad. So I think they'll get a decent result for them. And Real Madrid, just getting a point would help. If we get 7 more points, we take home the title. So one more point towards that magic 7 number.
Well, right on. That will be a fun one on Friday. A little chance to see the rotation squad before the huge semifinal clash against Bayern next week. That's going to be...
I'm already nervous for that one.
Yeah. I'm not too nervous for our game. Barcelona play Monday Night Football this week.
What? What's with all the weird games?
I don't know. I guess when you have nothing to play for anymore, they'll just throw you sporadically around the schedule. Does Barcelona play Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at home in the Olympic Estadio Luis Company de Montjuïc? One of our last games in this home away from home. Can't wait to be back in the Camp Nou. And that is another thing. Xavi will actually get to manage in the new Spotify Camp Nou and say farewell in our real stadium, which will be nice. But Valencia, usually a tough matchup for us. Tied our last matchup 1-1 in December. And I believe Real Madrid and Valencia tied in their last matchup as well, 2-2. Real Madrid, I think, had a late goal not count or something in that one. So just barely came away with 1 point. So, yeah. Valencia, always a decent squad. They're currently in eighth place, 47 points, 13 wins, 11 losses.
The Bats.
A goal difference. Yes.
Great.
A
goal difference.
It really is. I do love that.
The orange and black, it's really
good. They've had some great kits throughout the years as well. Big fan of them. Goal difference of +1. Their last game out was a 2-1 loss to Real Betis, but they won two in a row before that to Osasuna and Granada. Their manager, Ruben Baraja, took over for Gennaro Gattuso in February and actually has the team looking a lot better since he took over. Hugo Duro is their leading goal scorer and basically only goal scorer. 12 goals of their like 35 all season. So yeah, he is their man up front. But this should be a good chance to see some young guys for Barcelona and get a look at what we might be rotating with next season. But we also kind of need to win this game with Girona just 2 points back and pressing us for the second place finish. This is my predicted lineup. I got Ter Stegen in goal still. Left, right across the back line. A lot of rotations here. Marcus Alonso at left back. Pau Cubarsí and Iñigo Martínez starting at center backs. And Hector Fort at right back. Left, right across the midfield. I have Pedri at left mid. Now, Pedri has not practiced with us this week, but they said it's just to keep him fresh for the game on Monday. Like, they don't want to overwork him, especially since he's been playing so much after coming in off that injury. So I do think he'll start this one in lieu of, you know, Frankie. Andreas Christensen at CDM and Fermín López on the right side of the midfield. Then left, right, across the top, I've got Ferran Torres starting at left wing. Vitor Hoki starting at the nine and Rafinha starting on the right wing. Give Lewandowski a rest. He could use it. Those legs were useless in our game against Real Madrid and in that second leg against PSG.
Yeah, it didn't look too good. So,
no.
Give the old man a little time off.
Not looking too froggy fresh in that game, if you ask me. Rafinha, though, he can ball, and hopefully he can set up Vitor Hoki for a goal or two in this one. And I'm going to predict a 2-0 Barcelona win. And I'm giving goals to both the Brasileiros in this one. Rafinha and Hulky will both get a goal for 2-0. Brazil beat Valencia in this one. And we hold on to that second place because I am almost positive that Girona is going to take care of business against Las Palmas on Saturday. So we're going to need it to win this one. And hopefully we see some good play. I almost put like Mikhail Fai to start instead of Cubarsí or Martinez just because I want to get a good look at him. Hopefully we see him for at least like half an hour in this one or something because I want to see what all the hullabaloo is about.
Yeah, and this is the time with according to Upta, Real Madrid having a 100% chance to win La Liga, which I'm not sure that's correct, because surely there's some chance that we blow
maybe not scientifically 100%, mathematically it's not 100, but realistically it's pretty much 100.
So let's see some of these fantastic young players who we don't get to see. Let's see Goulart.
Absolutely. Mark, you, I could see maybe like Hoki starting at left wing and Guiu starting at the nine. I would love to see who's some of those midfielders that we never, I don't know. We'll see. There's a lot of them. That we have a lot of like 16 to 19 year old children that deserve a rotation. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting, I guess, not weekend of La Liga action here, but make sure you send your predictions to elclassicopodcast@gmail.com. Send us anything. Send us recipes. Well, not anything. Send us fun
appropriate things.
Appropriate fun stuff. Recipes. We'll read them on air. We're going to do a mailbag at some point here. So make sure send us your emails. We love doing the podcast so much for you. And we hope you enjoyed listening. Remember to give those reviews on whichever your preferred podcast platform is. And maybe a 5-star one.
Oh, man. If you give us a 5-star review, we will be indebted to you for the life of this podcast.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate you all so much for listening.
We do. We got a YouTube channel. Check that out. Follow Subscribe. Us on Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's go, Goulaire. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see it. Let's see some good goals this weekend. Let's make it fun. Let's see this season out with some flair.
Absolutely. Until next time. A la Madrid.
And as always, Visca el Barça.